Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Tori, I got a quick question for you. I know a lot of people still are talking and asking questions about Baby and all that stuff.
Did you forget his name?
Well, Michael. A lot of people just joined us because they were off for the summer, and you came back during the summer.
You had a baby?
Yeah. His name is Michael.
Yeah.
Well.
I saw a story, I guess this Australian woman, she gave birth to a 13-pound baby.
Bless her heart.
It's not the world record, though. Now, how big was Michael?
7 pounds, 13 ounces.
So that's normal size?
But he was 2.5 weeks early.
Okay.
So possibly not normal size.
I don't remember how big my babies were.
That's because you didn't deliver them. Yeah, I bet she remembers. Yeah,
probably so. So the record for the biggest baby ever born, Guinness World Record, it's a boy named Babe.
Well, hello, named after a pig.
Yeah. Weighed 22 pounds and 28 inches long.
Whoa. Was he past due date or something?
Well, he was a teenager.
He basically was like, hey, Mom, cut this. I got to go to school.
Yeah.
I got this, Mom.
Yeah. There's some others out there. Let's see. Another one that's not a record holder, but it was like in the mid-50s. And he
50s? Weighed, that's definitely a record.
No, and it was in 1950s. And it weighed like 20 pounds. So it was responsible for the great diaper shortage of, 1955.
I don't know how the women survived this.
I don't either.
I have so many questions. Yeah. Were they past their due date? Was this a C-section? Are they all okay? I mean, holy moly.
Yeah.
They're mad.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, you see the Guinness World Records and, is it like they hold the baby up like a fish and they got the fishing pole right there and they're taking a picture of it?
By the legs.
Yeah, by the legs with the baby dangling down. Like, let's go ahead and weigh this boy right now.
Wow.
It'd be kind of funny to see that, though.
That is just crazy.
That's a meme waiting to be had right there.
Yeah, but that's, of course, that apparently get arrested these days for child abuse.
Just for turning a baby upside down and holding a fishing pole.
Yes.
Didn't the doctors used to hold them like that and spank their bottom?
Mm-hmm.
What was that for?
To wake them up.
Oh, well, that wake me up.
And also, it would clear any of the mucus and stuff that was in their throat.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting times.
I need to do that now, to be honest with you.
They got those suction cups for the mucus.
Well, my sister has those straps you strap your legs in and it tilts you all the way back.
Yeah.
I did it one time. Everything fell out of my pocket, but I felt better when I got up out of that.
Don't that make you dizzy?
No, like all the blood like rushes to me and kind of pop my back.
Oh, that's funny. I got stuck on one time. I just had to sit there until my sister came in the room.
Face turning red.
Yeah. You have all the blood rush into my head.
It's like an exercise thing or something.
Yes. You strap your ankles in. It's like a bed and then it tilts. So you are basically head over or feet over your head.
Okay.
And I couldn't get it to flip back. So I just sat there.
So you want to have a friend there that you can trust to flip you back on the right side.
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, congratulations.
Thanks.
It wasn't 22 pounds.
Thank God. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. 7 pounds is plenty.
Yeah, I agree. So
I say anything that wouldn't get in trouble with the Fish and Game Commission, that's what you're shooting for.
Huh? What you mean?
Like they're saying, all right, you got to throw that fish back.
You don't want to throw that one back.
No.
You get back up in there.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Weddings are expensive. What can you do to lower the cost? Well, there's a company that has come up with an idea, and they sell an app that will lower the cost of your wedding.
All right.
Before you overreact, hear this out, because it's not what you initially think. They are wanting to sell tickets to your wedding. Now, again, before you overreact, Kato, because I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, what do you mean? I love this.
Okay.
Because I choose not to buy a ticket.
Oh, it's not like you think. It's not tickets for the people that you want to come.
Oh, I thought it was like Ticketmaster prices. I mean, yeah,
it is Ticketmaster prices, but it's for other people, for people who want to crash your wedding.
Oh.
So they're selling tickets for roughly $100 to $300 for people that want to crash your wedding. And this is especially for really expensive weddings where the party's going to be pretty good.
Do people really crash weddings?
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a great. I used to do that whenever I was single because it's a great way to meet girls.
You've seen the movie. And then a lot of times they would have them like at the big hotels and stuff, and they'd be at the banquet halls, and you just walk in, fill up a plate, have some fun.
I've done it.
Yeah,
I was having a birthday party at a bar in a hotel, and there was a wedding going on down the hall.
Yeah.
So we just had enough beverages that we decided to go check out the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing was, the bride and groom found out about it. They loved it. So later on, the whole wedding party came and crashed my party.
Oh!
So after their reception, the wedding party came over and crashed my party.
Now, was it local? Did they know who you were?
I don't know at the time.
Okay.
But, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I just...
Because it's like, if it's just somebody that you don't know, it's like, and they find out about you and your entourage, like, well, y'all need to leave because I'm paying for this food and the beverage.
Now, we weren't eating or drinking. We were just...
Well, why go?
We just went dancing. We had karaoke. They had dancing.
Okay.
But the thing is I just saw the guy the other day. So we were still friends on Facebook.
That's funny. Yeah.
Well, they say the average wedding cost about $33,000, which is about $284 per guest. So there's a lot of hacks out there that claim to make things cheaper, but they're mostly $20 here, $20 there, and it's still expensive. This is a new concept, and it's taking off in Europe already. It allows couples to sell tickets to their wedding, and it's not intended for your loved ones. You sell the tickets to strangers. You choose how many tickets you want to make available, and the paying ticket holders can come mingle with the guests and enjoy the event. So you'll have actual wedding crashers who are paying to be there.
But isn't the whole point of crashing a wedding, you're not paying to be there?
Well,
I don't think I understand. Because if I were the crasher, I'd be like, or I just won't pay and I'll just show up.
Right. But the thing is, if you pay, you've actually got like an armband that says you're allowed to be there. You don't have to worry about getting kicked out. And you get access to the usually quite good food and beverages, a lot of times open bar. And you're getting to meet a bunch of people you don't know. So it's kind of like going to a bar, but upscale with a bunch of women who have stars in their eyes.
I mean, but $200 for open bar and food and to meet strangers. I can go to a bar and a restaurant bar and spend a lot less.
Right.
Still meet people.
Keep in mind, you also have some idea of what quality people these are. Like if you're going to the wedding of a major stockbroker's daughter, you're potentially meeting well-heeled people who could possibly turn out to be very good sugar daddies or sugar mamas.
Gosh, I don't feel like dressing up.
Just isn't for you.
It's not worth it. No.
But it is definitely worth it for a lot of people. And for the couple, they get married and they hit a huge cut into their expenses.
I just feel like these stockbroker weddings, the ones that are, you know, spend $30,000, they're going to get the riffraff of the community that just came into some money. Hey, let's go to this wedding. I think there'll be disruptions throughout the ceremony and the reception.
Also, those people probably don't need the money to sell those tickets. The people who are going to actually opt into this are going to be like hillbilly people like where I'm from. They'll be like, yeah, let's make some money on this shindig.
You're going to be able to do that because you can't afford the $30,000 up front.
Okay, that's rude.
It's
rude.
What if you spend, you know, $5,000 on your wedding but still sold $300 tickets?
I don't think anyone's going to pay $300 to come to your $5,000 wedding.
They don't know what I spent.
I think there's probably something in there that lets you know.
PBR and MD 2020 open bar.
Can you imagine they walk in and they're like, I want a refund. This is not the wedding I thought I was buying into.
I think you know some of those things. They say that couples can approve sales after first seeing the profiles of the guest, and they have to agree to strict rules, including dress code, arriving on time, drinking in moderation, and not sharing photos without permission.
That's rude. You don't have to drink in moderation if you're just a regular guest.
Well, I would definitely not follow that rule.
Yeah.
They said there are also logistical issues the wedding planner irons out, like connecting with them for seating and meal coordination. And the wedding photographer has to know who the outside guests are so the couple doesn't end up with a bunch of pictures with photos of people they don't know. That could actually make it more fun. I picture this as a possible win-win. You meet people you wouldn't have otherwise met, may turn out to be some of the most fun people at the party, and you have this great memory from this wedding of people that you didn't know that showed up and turned out to be long-term friends before it was over.
So the guy that never leaves his home and has no friends is excited about this idea.
I'm not doing it. I just think it's a good idea. I think people might do this, and I could see how it would work for everybody.
I see. I can see.
Yeah. And I've got, it's great for me because I can tell my wife, we can't go to that wedding. It costs $200.
True. Good point.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I know our phones are very important to us. We have them in our hand all the time. I've got ways your phone is actually your significant other, if you think about it, okay? It's kind of, go with me on this. It cuddles with you when you sleep. Like, in fact, you probably prefer sharing the bed with it, and your phone doesn't steal the covers and then deny it the next morning.
No, but it does cuddle your face when you're starting to fall asleep and you're scrolling and it falls on your face.
Oh, that ain't good.
Mm-mm. I don't really cuddle with my phone. It usually ends up behind me. Like, I lay down and then I roll over to the side so it's left behind me.
Yeah. Okay, but that's kind of cuddling with it.
Not really at all.
It is kind of strange because you sit there and you fall asleep and then you wake up like you can't try to find your phone. And you got to take the bed apart to figure out where the cell phone is.
It's wrapped up in the blankets.
Yeah. All right, these are ways your phone is actually your significant other. It's a constant source of entertainment, games, texting, apps, all kinds of stuff. Like your significant other entertains you in so many specific ways, some ways you probably don't even like. But it's entertainment for you. I'm like, it's kind of like the entertainment you see on your cell phone. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but at least it's entertaining. Yeah. All right. You have the distinct feeling you're ignoring your friend on its behalf. So you know you ought to spend more time in the real world, but it's just so addicting. You know how you have that guilty feeling when you're on your cell phone? You're like, you know, I should be off my cell phone and be spending time with other people. That's the way your cell phone's kind of like your significant other.
Yeah. You can just send them reels. It's fine. Okay. Stay connected.
When half the time you're hanging out with people and you're all on your cell phones.
Exactly, yeah.
I had to call someone out this past weekend. I'm like, hello, I just need to go on home.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, it was.
Because I was there to speak and talk, and if I'd go back home.
But you think, like, if for cell phones, you spend just as much time on your cell phone in some ways than you do your significant other.
Oh, it tells me each week I get that weekly report of how many hours I've spent on it.
Uh-huh.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Don't you ever feel like contesting that? Like, well, wait, now this shouldn't count because on this one instance, I was doing this and I actually was sharing it with someone who was here.
Gotcha.
I feel like I should be able to, like, argue some of them.
You're still on it, but it does tell me which apps I was on the most.
Right.
Oh, my battery was wearing down so much one time, I called Verizon, and I'm like, what is going on with this battery? And the guy says, well, go to your battery usage. And he's like, what's your top app? And I said, TikTok. And he said, how much is that percentage for that? And I was like, we don't need to talk anymore. We're good.
I figured it out.
Yes, yeah, I got the problem.
All right. Well, your phone is actually your significant other or your man, whatever, girl. It's the first thing you see in the morning and last thing you see at night. It's your cell phone. Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's sad.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
Well, technically, you see the ceiling the last thing, and the first thing you see the ceiling.
Yeah, that's not really an app.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right.
The ceiling fan.
Yeah. All right. The service isn't always great, but if you get a better angle, things usually improve. You know, you're getting a bad signal, so you change where you are.
Yeah.
Same thing with your significant other. It's like, okay, you know what? I can get better treatment from this person. But you know what? As I look at it, he's not that bad.
It's like when you say, how are you? And she's like, fine.
Yeah.
That's a bad signal.
Yeah.
So you need to adjust your location.
Right. Exactly.
Farther away.
Yes.
And I think this is more so for your boyfriend. Ways your phone is actually your boyfriend. You're always wondering if you should trade it in for a new one.
That works on both sides.
Yeah, it's not just for boyfriends.
That's true. Girlfriends, too. So if you really think about it, your cell phone, you have a real relationship with your cell phone.
It's not just that. There's always constantly people suggesting you trade it in, too. Mm-hmm. There's always like, you know, you can get a better one.
Yeah.
It's available. Uh-huh. It won't cost you anything. You just have to trade in the old one.
Your phone don't do what the new ones do.
Right. And in reality, the only difference, the camera's a little better.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, it is back to school for a lot of kids. It's happened this week or maybe the week before. And it turns out that back to school has been a big event for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, back to school shopping is the second biggest shopping season of the year, with only the winter holidays bringing in more spending.
Mm-hmm.
And the average American household spends over $800 on supplies, clothing, and electronics.
I had a friend that could not believe the cost of supplies this year.
Yes.
And that's like paper, pencils, that those type of, not clothes.
It's like they were some surprised. Of them you got to buy computers.
Yeah.
Especially once they get to college.
Ridiculous.
Like at college, they'll have a certain kind of computer they have to buy, or a certain model.
Is that like the calculator, that expensive calculator?
Yes.
That's on the kids' list, mm-hmm. they never use, and it's like $100.
We got a TI-84, baby, graphing.
That's ridiculous.
I had a class in college. You had to buy a specific little remote so that you could take tests on the projector. So you had to buy this remote that you couldn't use for any other class, and I never used it again. See, it was so pointless.
That should be illegal.
Somebody Agreed. Was getting paid.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that stuff going on. They say pencils can actually get more expensive in August because of the surge in demand. And that number two pencil, it became the classroom standard for a reason. Its graphite hardness was the best choice for Scantron machines.
Oh.
They could read it the best out of any of the colors.
I always wondered.
See, I always thought, well, the number one pencil will work too. It's even darker.
Huh.
But number two pencil was the guaranteed one.
There's a number one?
There is a number one pencil. It's even softer.
No clue.
Yeah, number three are pretty light. Like, you write on them and you have to write real hard and it's not very dark.
Why do you know this?
Because I've tried all the pencils.
Oh.
I can't believe you just went with number two and just followed the rules.
Yeah, because that's what we were told by.
Yeah. I bought them all to try them out.
Imagine being the number one and the number three. That's like the least favorite kids of the family.
No, yeah. Number one.
Everybody's
ones are
all
awesome.
About number two.
Number one is better than number two, but it's just they make you get number two.
And if you just join us, we're not talking about bathrooms. Okay? We're talking about pencils right now.
Because what is three? A little lighter.
Yeah. All right. When did backpacks become popular? Later than you might have thought.
I don't know, but my kids, I've weighed their backpacks before.
It's ridiculous.
30 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and sure. They are hauling that every day.
Okay. They didn't become popular until the 1980s. Before that, kids carried books by hand, or they used those straps like in the 50s and 60s.
And now the kids are getting like Lightning McQueen, like the high schoolers are getting Lightning McQueen backpacks and stuff like that, and lunch boxes just to be funny.
That's cool, though.
I think so.
Like, I mean, why not? Why spend a lot of money on a nicer backpack? Get one of the kids' backpacks.
Yeah, nice. There's my Scooby-Doo backpack and
it.
Lunchbox. It's kind of funny, though.
All right.
Back in the 1950s, school supply list had only a few items, but some now have over 40 items on the back-to-school list.
Well, that's because they take all that lottery money and spend it somewhere else instead of giving it to the schools to buy supplies. And then they wait for the parents to help out with the supplies because the poor teacher's having to foot the bill for those.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
They say that many states have tax-free shopping weekends in August to help save parents money. We just had ours,
mm-hmm.
and they're awesome for anyone who needs to buy a computer, too, even if you don't have kids in school, because you still get that discount. And
right.
that actually adds up to a fair amount of money on a computer.
Right.
Okay, Lisa Frank's rainbow and unicorn covered folders appeared
we're talking.
In 1987. They are still a nostalgic favorite.
I just saw nails, like the nail stickers that were Lisa Frank.
Right.
I only bought a couple packs.
Do you have any of your folders or any of that like homework from when you were a kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
I have a book report for about Thomas Paine. From middle school.
You should try to reread that.
I didn't read it the first time.
You go back though, and you look at your notebook and you got like, you know, so-and-so loves whoever, yes. You know, you got your little cross with your initials in
there. Mr. and Mrs. Anybody you had a crush
on. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then you got your name written in like in big, anyway.
In cursive.
Yeah.
Well. Bubble letters.
Yep. You got that.
That was weird.
All right. Highlighters, not invented until 1963, so older generations just took notes without neon colors. They had to underline or circle things to make them stand out.
Yeah. Wow, how'd they survive?
I did not know. That's got to be tough.
With a number one or number two pencil.
Lunchboxes became collectible in the 1950s when TV shows and cartoon characters started appearing on them.
Do you remember your lunchbox when you were a kid?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo, I had it. Had that. Hong Kong Phooey.
Lisa Frank.
Yeah.
I had Barbie.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Yes!
I had the reduced ticket for school.
I was saying,
Kato had a brown paper bag with a greasy spot on the side. But everyone wanted to trade with me, though, because my mom made something called peanut butter and syrup sandwiches.
You know, you'd go to jail
for doing that now. But it was good back then.
Imagine the kids bouncing off the walls after lunch. Mm-hmm. The teachers have to put up with that.
The teachers are like, I don't know why this kid's so hyper.
Yeah, he needs some Ritalin or something.
This is interesting. The smell of fresh crowns is so important. It's in the U.S. Library of Congress in their scent archive. Mm. So that's actually considered to be an important scent. Wow. I wonder if they have those little papers, the mimeograph papers, because that's a scent they definitely should hang on to.
And permanent markers.
Ah, yes, that's good.
And gasoline.
Okay, you're getting a little wild now.
I don't want to sniff that number two pencil, if you know what I mean.
No, we don't.
You're
glue
stuck
sticks.
On that.
I did not reach that from your classrooms until the late 70s. Before that, they used regular paste and liquid glue. August and September always see a spike in printer sales as students prepare for assignments.
There's something for you. You know, the printers are like $12, but the ink's $139 every other month.
It's expensive.
That's a scam right there.
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned...
Tom just says he buys new printers.
Lisa Frank's rainbow cover folders. How about Trapper Keepers?
I remember those.
Those were actually banned in some schools in the 80s and 90s for being too distracting.
Which ones were those?
Trapper's Keepers.
Well, yeah. What does that look like?
Is that the big ring circle things?
Yeah.
You clip your finger and you're like,
You put your notebook paper, you had your pencil holder.
But you clamp it and that hurt. And it's like it would clamp on your finger.
You're not supposed to push
it. I know, but you do it anyway.
It wasn't the finger I was worried about. It's just that little flab between your thumb and your pointer.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, that's a Trapper Keeper.
I don't think we had those, but we did have the three-ring binders, and I would pinch my fingers in that all the time.
Yeah. Maybe they were banned by the time you got to them.
When was it banned again?
In the 1980s and 90s.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Wow, we had nothing fun.
Nope, nothing for you. The spiral notebook, now a staple, was patented in 1924 and is nearly 100 years old. And they say the busiest day for school shopping supply is usually Saturday, 2 weeks before classes start. But, of course, now the shopping day where you get the discount is starting to take over.
And you know any parents that said it's not worth them going out on tax-free weekend because of the crowds?
I know the crowds.
And the news, and people were posting videos of stores, just people were trashing stores. They'd go in and they were throwing clothes on the floor. And I'm like, why you got to act like that?
You know, going back to like the stuff that you keep as you know your kid, you know, I've got some of my homework and stuff like that. You know what kids do now? They have big bonfires and throw all of their homework from the year in the bonfire. And watch it go up in smoke.
Wow.
I'm like, all that hard work. And I'm like, why?
Go up in smoke, just like my grades.
What if they need it later? What if they have to retake that class?
Well, I mean, okay.
I mean, I'm waiting for my Thomas Paine book report to be put in the Congress. What is it? The
Library of Congress. Yeah. I'm with you, Kato. I got all my calculus notes just in case.
You put that stuff on eBay, you know? That's what I'm saying, because all the AI, they can't prove that. It's like if you buy your book report off somebody that's already done one.
Let me see what my grade was first. It might not be worth putting up.
It's just worth less.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.